You are listening to Pal Talk Real Talk with your host, Henny and Malay, coming at you from the inner cities to the suburbs. Realest podcast worldwide. Give it a listen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's edition of Pal Talk Real Talk. We are your hosts, Henny and Malay.
Hi, Henny.
Hi, Malay. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. I'm very, very excited. We have a guest via virtually once again.
Quarantine radio, you know what I'm saying?
Quarantine. Our guest right here is Polo P. Polo, how you doing?
Sir, Polo P. Don Perignon, you know, you can call me whatever.
The man with many names.
Many plans, you know.
One face, many names.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
One face, many names.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing great, you know, I'm in here sad as hell, you know, about this quarantine. You know, I'm playing my R&B slow jam, you know, my Fantasia.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Which song?
You know, Fantasia? Just vibing.
What's your favorite Fantasia song?
What's the one? Hold on. I put my head on the pillow.
That's When I See You?
Yeah, When I See You. That's my favorite joint.
That's the like beat, every, you know what I'm, black person's favorite Fantasia song. But me.
I got a couple. The thing is, I got a couple Fantasia hits like I bang with, but the one that come to mind is that one.
Yeah, that one. That one just puts you in a mood no matter where you are.
Like, you know, it
just,
you know, puts you
in a mood. But I love Free Yourself. I think that's one of the best Fantasia songs.
Okay, yeah.
I'm blanking on Fantasia right now.
You really don't know Fantasia?
I know.
The Fantasia Barrino story on Lifetime?
Of course I do. But I'm saying I'm really blanking out right now. I haven't listened to her in a minute.
She has a lot of good hits.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm very ashamed of you, Black Card Revoked.
But I don't like mac and cheese too, so you can take my card.
What? Oh, you don't like mac and cheese?
No, I realize that.
Okay, that's
trifling.
I'm sorry, but I realize
bro, you really don't like mac and cheese.
I don't like mac and cheese. Here's why I don't like mac and cheese. I realize that no matter what mac and cheese I try or whose mac and cheese I try, I just don't like it.
Really?
I don't like it.
Then what's one black thing? What's one black food that you can eat? Like one soul food, like you can eat all.
No matter what.
All day.
All day?
Are you puzzling right
now? Like, no matter.
The fact that you could have came up with this really quickly and are puzzling.
I'm sorry. I hate majority of soul food.
Oh, my God.
No.
You don't like soul food?
I can't get into the whole, what is it called? The cornbread. The fried chicken.
Malay, you don't like
those
kind.
No, the green. What is it? The green beans or
collard greens.
I just, that combination just doesn't hit for me. I'm sorry.
Not even sweet potatoes.
I'll do sweet potatoes.
Not the yams. Nothing.
I don't think I've ever had yams.
No, not even the. I'm sorry. It's just something about that combination. My taste buds is like, I can't.
I'm Malay.
I've tried it so many times though, and it's not a go for me. I'm sorry. Take my black heart away.
I'm offended.
I'm very offended.
Cornbread too. I hate it.
That's like the sweetest
thing. That's the best thing. Yeah, you can eat that with
anything.
It doesn't hit it no matter how much my family's made it. It doesn't matter how much restaurants I went to. It doesn't matter what cookout I went to. I just don't. I'm not going to lie to you. I eat before I go to cookouts.
I can't do it. I can't. You are stressing me to hell. I'm not done.
Oh, you. Yeah, no. Okay, I got another question. This might take away your black card. Do you know how to play spades or dominoes?
Listen. Take it away. I'm a Caucasian woman today. The mountain of caucuses. I will be representing.
Yeah, no. You don't know how to play spades. You said you eat before a cookout. That's
how
worse than you not know
you
how to play spades.
You gotta save your entire appetite for a cookout. That's the whole purpose of a cookout, to eat.
Because I always lose my appetite at cookouts. I just feel like I wait too long, and then by the time that I get the food, I'm not that hungry anymore.
Mm-mm.
So I just always like to eat a little something before I go
there.
Have
you had seafood, like crab?
No, I actually haven't. I want to try seafood, though. I do.
You never tried seafood yet?
No.
It's a really good crab shack.
Okay, I got a question. What do you eat?
What do I eat?
What do you eat?
I like my mom's.
I'm not talking about like Angetta, you know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm talking like what foods, non-Somali foods do you eat?
I like sushi a lot. Like, I don't mind.
Okay.
I like salads.
Okay, what type of salad? Like a Caesar salad?
No,
Italian salad?
No, I like Panera's, it's called the Apple Fuji salad. It's just...
Apple what?
It's called the Apple Fuji salad, and it just smacks.
Does it bang? Does it hit?
It hits. It's my favorite salad. But, I like my... But I'm not gonna lie to you, my favorite cooking is my mom's cooking. Mm-hmm. I just really like home-cooked meals. That's what I prefer the most. Rather than going out to eat, I would rather come home to like a home-cooked meal.
Yeah.
that can kind of be like a true false in a, you know, in a way.
An assumption of you has definitely been broken today. The barriers have just, you shocked me.
Yeah, you opened up with your food topics, yo.
I know.
I'm revolted. I'm going to have to take you to every spot that I went to and see if you could chow down.
I think you would like Jamaican food a lot, though, for real.
I think I would.
If you tried it.
I think I would. I don't mind.
Because it's not soul food, but it's very, it's like, I would say this, like black food. They have very state, like, for example, cornbread is a staple in almost every black culture, almost. Mm-hmm. Jamaican, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's always cornbread. Greens, that's always a staple, too. Like, in Jamaica, we call it callaloo, and then in America, they call them collard greens, you know what I'm saying? So, it's similar stuff, but it's prepared different, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a different taste, but the same thing, you get what I mean?
Okay. I like Indian food, though. I was going to say I like Indian food.
See, Jamaican food, I'm not going to lie. Like, we got the curry.
I don't mind like, curry. Yep, I don't mind it.
So it's like Jamaican food will be like Indian food with soul food mixed into it. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, see, okay, it's I would like be down for that. I would be down for that. Henny,
like you got your fried stuff, and then you got your savory curries and your rotis and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to go to Jamaican Shack.
I will try it. But here's the thing. I'm down to trying food. I'm never like, ew, I don't dismiss anything. I would give it a try.
Okay.
But you dismiss but mac you and dismiss cheese. Cornbread. Though,
so. I'm sorry. It's because I've tried it, though. The only reason why they're dismissed in my life is because I've tried it and I just don't like the combination.
I'll give you that.
I'm sorry. Wait, I have a question, though. Do you have any true or false, you know, assumptions about me and Henny?
Yes, I would love to hear from fellow guests hateration in this dancery about me and Malay.
Well, my true or false assumption was that, you know, like I feel like Malay is the mom of the group of y'all and that, you know, Henny is the wild joint. Like you could call him Henny if y'all down to do anything, you know, like, oh, we about to go rob a bowling alley. Oh, Henny, like, oh, I'm for sure down. Like, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we about to go do this. Oh, I'm with it. You know, Henny down for anything. And then Malay is like, oh, guys, we should do this. You know, this is safer, you know, stuff like that.
I'm trying to remember.
That is
Malay has canceled a lot of events. For a while, we had a nickname for her, but we're not going to repeat the nickname because she's
good. You can repeat. For him, you can repeat it because here's the thing. The only reason why you can repeat it is because I'm past it. I've grown from that person.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Once upon a time, Emily canceled on me and my friends so much that we had to call her Runaway Emily. She just ran away.
Runaway Emily. I like that look.
We were sick of her. Because one time I was trying to go to a Kehlani concert and I needed her. She was my ride. I'm in Minneapolis. She's in the suburbs. And she was my ride to downtown. And then Emily backs out. I was like, how are you going to back out on a concert that we paid for? How are you going to back out? She's like, I just can't do it. And after a wild amount of convincing, she finally folded. It just took a massive, because I was like, I'm not going to waste my concert money and I'm not going to waste my time. And I'm already dressed. So yeah. You're going to come whether or not you want it.
I've outgrown that person, though.
She's outgrown that person.
Was y'all late to the
concert? No, it's just, late. I just never came.
You didn't come to the, no, we went to the Kehlani concert.
Later on?
Yeah.
Was it, I thought there was one the that. Day.
Oh, no, she two never, yeah, it was. She never came to that Kehlani concert. We missed that one. But years later. We missed that one. But years later, we went to a Kehlani concert and she redeemed herself. But we were stuck in line for like an hour and a half in the freezing cold. My feet were so cold that day. I will never forget.
It was one of the coldest nights.
And then they told us it was sold out and that we weren't, it was like max capacity and we weren't allowed to come in. So
I flirted.
There was flirting with a French. It was flirting with a French cop. And that's how we got in.
Yeah. I redeemed myself. Everybody flirted with him. We kept on complimenting him over and over.
Oh, yeah. We just kept going.
Oh, my God, you're so tall. Oh, you're a cop. Like,
it was me. It was
and
me.
French? Yeah, wow.
It was us three. And we were
he believed it.
Folding. He let us in.
So surprisingly, here's what happened. We are terrible people because there were two additional girls with us that we didn't know that we met that day, right? We met them at the line. And we were flirting with the guy so that we can get in. And he's like, how many of you guys are in? I can probably squeeze you in. And there's the two girls are right behind us. And me, Emily, and another girl just said us three. And we left the two girls behind. And they're like the biggest Kehlani fans. Mind you, we knew some songs. We weren't like that deep. And they're like diehard Kehlani fans. And we're like, yeah, we're going to leave you guys. Wow. Sorry.
Sorry.
That ain't right.
I ain't right. So, honey, are you wild, though?
Years before I was probably. I feel like I'm reformed now. I'm like a homebody. So
he got me, though. I'm not going to lie.
He did.
I am cautious.
Yeah. I feel like back in the day, I was pretty wild, but now I'm pretty chill.
Dang.
But I'm flattered.
She was a ride and die.
Like if I'm about to do something wild, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna call Henny. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna call Henny.
Do that now. I'm ready. It's quarantine. Do that now.
Say no more. Say no more.
Rob a bank. I'm down.
Henny, do you have any assumptions about Polo? Like, oh, true or false?
Yes. I'm just wondering, Polo. Have you ever taken a woman to McDonald's on a first date?
Not okay. Hold on. That's a tricky question. Cause listen,
What I'm hearing is yes.
Hold on, now that I'm thinking about it, because I was gonna say nah, like I ain't never did that, but like I was on a first date with somebody and we ended up getting McDonald's at night. So I don't know if that counts as a date, you know what I'm saying?
Before or after the event?
It was after. It was like type of, you know, late night food.
So you had already gotten food with her first before.
Yeah, we already chilled and, yeah, you know, and so it was like a late night.
So I don't count that.
Do you want a McFlurry? Yeah. That sounds nice.
Can you add mac sauce on that McChicken?
No, she got a McChicken. That's what's funny.
I knew it. I literally said it. McChicken with mac sauce. Everybody is so predictable these days. And I don't even eat McDonald's and I feel like I know predictability.
You know when's the last time I had a McChicken?
2011.
2005. Damn.
I haven't had it since I was 10. I haven't had McDonald's since I was 10.
That's good for you. Good for you. I can't speak on that. I don't eat McDonald's regularly, but like
for you.
If it ain't no options on the table, I'm grabbing McDonald's, man.
I'm glad at least you clarified that. You said halfway, which is to me you passable. We passed you. C minus.
All right, bet. Cool.
That's a false assumption that I had on you. Amelie, do you have one, Paulo?
Yeah, Paulo. Is it true or false that my assumption is that you look like you were part of the jerking crew?
Like jerking cat daddy joint? Like, yep.
With the skinny
jeans
and
big like, shoes.
The hat,
you know,
in the back.
And you were on Tumblr.
Snapbacks.
And the way you took pictures with that lip up.
Wink.
Yeah, with that lip up, wink down, you know, like.
With the snap, what is it called? The
snapback.
The snapback?
Yeah, the snapbacks. That is also a false assumption because I was more of the, you know, the 2013, 2014 Chief Keef era North Face jackets and baggy trues and Tim's, you know, I was still wearing baggy clothes until like, I want to say 2015. Almost.
When did you decide you wanted to lead the trend? Like, when did it occur to you that, hey, everybody passed the Chief Keef age of wearing baggy pants and the North Face jackets? So I'm going to drop
it. So I'm going to be honest with you. That trend, I just got out of it not too long ago. I'm going to be honest. Because listen, hear me out. I'm not a skinny dude. So skinny pants and skinny jeans isn't really in my forte. You know, I'm a little thick nigga season. You know what I'm saying? It's always a thick nigga season. Thicker than a snicker. But no, like I couldn't rock the skinny stuff everybody was wearing because I'm not really a skinny jean type of dude. So I was like, I just gotta go what I've been rocking, you know what I'm saying? I didn't switch it up. And then I had a friend from he's originally from France, but he moved here. He's a Senegalese, right? And he was like, you need to get your wardrobe in order. Cause I guess in Europe they be rocking that real tight clothing, you know.
You're not at least like those big guys who wear like an extra small top.
I wear my size, but now I wear my size, but I still
wear a little bit baggier.
It's a little bit baggier. Like I like my stuff a little bit, you know,
like a little oversized
room in it.
Yeah, I see you. I feel it. Yeah. Okay, so I see the false assumption on Amelie's part to you that we learned that. We all had false assumptions of each other.
You was almost right about that McDonald's joint.
Yeah,
I had to think about that.
Passable.
I was like, oh, wait.
At least you did it after all the events. It's like a late night dinner. But
I think he got about us right.
Yeah.
I think he got us right. That you were wild. You used to be down for it.
Yeah.
And I'm a cautious person.
I'm dead ass when I say quarantine has fucked me up and I'm so fucking bored. Literally, if anybody wants to do anything,
put a finger up your ass. You were down for that?
Hey, Emily.
I'm gonna be honest. After this,
yeah.
After this quarantine joint, I'm wilding. Not like wilding, but I'm doing things I've never done before.
Me too. I'm going skydiving.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna chill out for 2 months and then come back out. Let y'all die out first.
So we're going to title this episode The Ambience of Polo P. So we're just going to focus all about Polo P, his lifestyle, his aspects, everything about him, what he do, where he at, all about it.
His surroundings, his culture, what he
grew up on. Yes, sir.
we're diving deep into the man that is Polo P.
Yes, sir, the man, the myth, the legend.
So, Polo, why don't you tell everybody where you're from and how has that impacted your state of mind at where you're at right now?
Well, you know me, I'm a Mitten resident, Michigan, yes, sir. Flint to Detroit, you know, 810-313. You know, I'm repping, you know, Flint to Detroit. How that has affected me? Well, not to get too deep into it as far as like the whole background of like the cities. These cities are more like, you know, Rust Belt cities as far as like their factory cities, and a lot of black people from the South came up back in the day. So it's they're very black cities in that sense. So, you know, and then once GM left Michigan and, you know, it kind of made there's a lot of poverty in the cities, you know, especially Detroit and Flint. You know, they were hit harder because most of the residents that lived up here worked in the factories. Mm-hmm. And so even my mom's, her generation, it was still hood in their generation. You know what I'm saying? So my mom grew up in the same kind of background I grew up in as well.
How is growing up in an all black community?
All black community, honestly, it depends on what cities. Because, like, for example, mm-hmm. you can grow up in an all black city and all the businesses are owned by Koreans or white folks or Indians or Arabs, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then there's cities like, you know, that everything is black owned. And so it's like, I can't speak for every black city, but you know, Flint and Detroit, it's really, they have a culture. They have hold on it.
What is your culture then? Like how you grew up and how you're still growing up? How is that culture and how has that impacted you and the differences when you step outside of your own?
Well, as far as the culture, like I said, I never grew, you know, you don't really grow up bougie. You know, everything is like, it's life. Life is life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, paycheck to paycheck. You know, as far as, you know, there's not really no time for crazy, like fun, spectacular things. Like, you know, and like you see all these like white kids and these, you know, affluent people, you know what I mean? Like, it's really just, you make the best out of the little, like the most basic things. For example, like if we ain't have a hoop, we was playing curb, like we was throwing a ball over the like cars and, you know, we just made the most out of it. We had like neighborhood football tournaments, you know what I'm saying? Like we play, you know, tackle football in the abandoned, you know what I'm saying? Like a vacant lot or something like that. You know, just making the most out of the little things we do have. And then once I left and once I started experiencing, honestly, because I'm still experiencing it now, because I never realized a lot of things until I left. You know, I went to a white school and started seeing things for myself. Like, I remember the first time I went to somebody's house and I seen they had marble front steps. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I slowly started getting, I want to say accustomed to it, but I started slowly seeing that, you know, this is their lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? And this is how they live. And then I started experiencing more fun things, you know, and I've been trying to, you know, put people on to a lot of stuff these kids, you know, these people be doing, because a lot of this is fun. Like I went tubing one time for the first time. And I was like, bro, I've never went tubing before.
How was it?
It was crazy, low key. Like it was wild. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I never went tubing before. Like I've been on a boat, you know, like fishing and all that. Like I didn't even, like my first, this is, like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? You know what I experienced. Like, it's a lot of new stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because growing up, I didn't really get to experience a lot of that stuff. Because I wouldn't say, it wasn't even money. It was just like nobody else was doing it because we didn't know about it. It's a lot of stuff, like, growing up in inner cities you don't know about. And then once you step out into, like, the suburbs or something, like, you see a lot of stuff that you could have been doing. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of it's because we just don't have the opportunity to, you know? A lot of kids don't have the opportunity to, basically, they don't have the opportunity to become a kid. Like, they're faced with hardships their whole life.
Is that still the same for the kids since you're not a kid anymore? But what would you say for the kids in your community right now? Are they still experiencing the same lifestyle that you were experiencing as a child?
I think, honestly, I think it's got a little worse because, you know, now that I'm getting older, you know, a lot of people my age are having kids. And so a lot of them kids are growing up, you know, with young ass parents. And you could say this for my mom's generation as well. But like, I feel like our younger generation, it's like a lot of phony, fake, plastic ideology, you know what I'm saying? And when I say plastic, I mean like the opposite of like steel. Like it's pliable, it's, you know what I'm saying, you can mold it, it's fake, you know what I'm saying, it breaks easily, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not, I want to say it's not true to a sense, it's very,
what are they idolizing?
Basically glorifying like street life and crime. And I'm not saying that every person in, you know, the inner city is doing this, but a lot of young kids are doing it now that really don't need to, you know. Cause honestly, like how I grew up was that it was, you had to, even though you was in the street life or you had street shit going on, you had morals too. Like, he wasn't just gonna shoot up nobody baby mama house. But now that these young cats out here, like, they shooting up baby mama house, they shooting kids, you know what I'm saying? They shooting up kids. Like I would have never, like, don't get me wrong, this was happening before, but I see it more. Like, it's more of a problem. And I think a lot of younger kids are getting into it. Like, don't get me wrong, I was a young kid, you know, getting my feet wet and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
So you mentioned a lot about how they're like plastic phony people, you know? How does that differentiate from the culture that was back in the day versus how the kids are behaving now?
Because honestly, like for example, growing up, you know, the old heads, you know, the people that was out here really doing this shit, they wasn't, you know, Instagram didn't exist, you know, Facebook did, I think, you know, but Facebook that basically them internet thug shit, all that fake shit, it didn't exist. Like, people didn't just go on internet posting their guns, or, you know what I'm saying? Because that shit, people, real niggas know that that's going to get you, that's going to incriminate you. Like, they can use that against you. They could put that on your case, even your lyrics. Like, a lot of rappers don't know that too. You know, they can use your lyrics. If you do get into something, they use your lyrics for it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I see a lot of it. To me, that's what I see as a being.
So that's becoming more of a common thing in your...
Yeah, that's becoming more of a common thing now that people are trying to prove themselves on social media. Mm-hmm. They're trying to prove that they are real. If you have to prove that you're real, you're not real to me. You understand? I met dudes that don't even talk about the shit they do. And then you find out what they're doing and it's like, damn, like, that's crazy. And it's just like, I see a lot of these young kids out here. They want to grow up to... Because don't get me wrong, like, some kids, that's all they know, because all their dad, their mom, they all in it,
mm-hmm.
you know? But then there's some kids that got opportunities, like, as far as, like, I done seen kids that got nothing but talent in sports, football, basketball, and they throw their life away just to be thugging with their homies, you feel me? Thugging with their people. And I'm just like, bro, you got the opportunity to leave this situation. And the thing is, they get comfort. They get, it's comfortable for them. Like, they don't have to, they know everything that goes on in their hood, in their city. And they don't feel like they need to leave. They, you know, once they leave, it's like, it's almost about, you know, like I was saying, like, I had to get out of my comfort zone and go. I went to a white school and I got off my comfort zone, but I was forced almost to go do that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these kids, they don't want to force getting out of their comfort zone to better their lives. They just want to, they'd rather be comfortable than uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
How do you think these kids, like, or who do you think they are trying to impress? Like, their community, social media, like...
They're trying to impress, you know, a lot of young, the same generation of kids. They're trying to impress their peers, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then, bro, I think a lot of it is due to fast money. They think it brings them female attention, too, as well. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, in my opinion, a lot of dudes do shit for female attention nowadays. Like, they don't do it for themselves. They do it for what it brings them, whether it's money, you know what I'm saying, or females, women, you know, stuff like that. And it's not really about, because... To me, real street shit is you have to do it to put food on the table. I'm not saying it's fake. These youngins out here are fake to the extent, because they still out here killing folks. You know what I'm saying? But they doing it for fake intentions. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're doing it for to impress and to get validation from their peers. You know what I mean? So
do you think that there's like a perception of media and that plays a part into how these kids are behaving now with all this like fast money?
I think, I'm not gonna lie, shit. Media does, yeah, I feel you, like, media does play a part, like, you know, like, I used to grow up watching, you know, T.I., and I wanted to be, you know what I'm saying, I wanted to get my Impala and 24s and all this, you know what I'm saying, like, I feel like media does play a part, it plays a part, but then I think, like, especially rap music, it's an art form, like, people, they get on there and they talk about their art, you know what I'm saying, but kids, they're moldable, you know what I'm saying, they see these rappers out here, and these rappers are rapping about their past. They're not rapping about the shit they doing. They trying to get build money. They not here in the street shit. They rapping about the old street shit if they true about it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got some rappers.
There's like a lot of what I feel like I see a lot is a lot of these fake rappers that plead about the lifestyle that they have, but have never been involved in that lifestyle.
What is it? 69?
Yeah.
Like,
hey, 69. Yeah.
So you see him.
He is a snitch and they're glorifying it.
Yeah. So you basically see him talk about all this like hard shit, acting like he's actually had like a hard life when he's just like a suburban guy who just act, you know, and he made money off of that. And a lot of people follow that example. Do you think
I'm not going to lie. Usually I'm not the people that fall into that is that fake rap shit. Because it's honestly, because you got to understand rap music, their biggest where they get their money from is white folks. So there's a lot of these suburban kids out here trying to be thugs based off music. And while inner city kids are living it, And seeing it on a daily, you got suburban kids just listening to it and then trying to be about it. Because I done met some suburban dudes that try to be hood, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, bro, your lifestyle and what you trying to be don't correlate, you know? But I do think media does play a part in younger kids' heads. Like, you know, like especially like 11, 10, 12. But at the same time, I respect the art form. You know what I'm saying? It's art. Music is art, in my opinion. Like, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it's phony, it's phony. I'm going to call it out, in my opinion. You know, I'm not saying I'm the realest nigga or nothing like that. I'm just saying I know from what my experience is, what's real is what's real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How does media influence show up in your community, especially with these kids? Like, what do you see them imitating that you know in your back? Because you're older enough to understand that clearly it's just for selling, you know, for money.
Yeah, so selling records. Yeah.
So how do you see that in your community with these younger children?
Like I said, these younger kids don't understand that a lot of these rappers are rapping about their past and what they pain through, the same thing they going through right now. They rapping about the past. That, you know what I'm saying? And these, a lot of kids take it as if they can live this lifestyle for the rest of their life and still get money just rapping about it. And it glory, like sometimes, you know, it's like we all know rap music can sometimes glorify street shit. You know what I'm saying? And
That's true.
Because a lot of kids are already going through it. It makes it sound like it's cool, like it's all good, like they don't need nothing better. Like this shit is, you know what I'm saying? Why these rappers are living in mansions, you feel me? They still rapping about this hood shit while these kids are in the hood listening to it, thinking that I don't need to think better, or I don't need to look for better, or I don't need to get out of my comfort zone to realize there's way better opportunities outside of just where I'm at right now.
So their motive is to chase money. It's like fast money. And
a lot of it's due to chase fast money and just to impress their peers and, you know, get, you know, female attention. And, you know, like, it's not really a lot of the street shit I see now isn't to put food on the table. Don't get me wrong. There is people that do that. Like, most of the people that do it is to put food on the table and support their kids. Like, I know people like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know how it is. But the younger generation, like kids younger than me, it's more or less because that's who's really killing. That's who's really dying out here is the young kids. It's really just about oppressing their peers because they, you know what I'm saying? They telling I got this new piece. I got this new gun. Like, they showing off. Like, to me, that's not, you're not a thug. Like, you're not a real street nigga if you out here showing off what you got, what you holding. You know what I'm saying?
What would you say to a kid who basically is in this situation right now? Like, how are they going to believe you? Like, have you experienced similar situations as them?
Yeah, like, I'll tell that kid, like, listen, I've been in your shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dad, like, not to get into details, but my dad, you know what I'm saying, was out here like that. And I had to basically grow up a man by myself, you know? And like, I done seen it all. I had to experience it all. Like, all the shit I experienced is when I was like 13, 14, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of shit my mom don't even know I did. You know what I'm saying? My mom thinks I'm like, she don't even understand half the shit I've been through while I was with my dad, you know? So, not to get into it, like, I done seen it. I done seen the shit that you have to go through, to the paranoia you have to have to, you know, day in and day out, you know, just chilling. Like, you can't, it's not, you don't have a comfort. It's not comfortable. You know what I'm saying? It's not fun in game. Like, looking over your shoulder 24/7, it's not fun. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, for a kid that made it out, especially, like, through, you know, my mom, and then, like, I honestly, like, through Dean, you know what I'm saying? I can attest to that you don't need to outbeat being a street shit to get respect. Like, to be a real nigga, you don't have to be a street nigga. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. I like that. You're saying that you were lucky, and not lucky, but blessed, yeah. You know, blessed in a way to have found a different outlet and choose a different path and circling back to a path that you knew that wasn't good for you.
Like, wallahi, like, if my moms didn't get me out and put me in a white school or, you know, try to do better for us, you know, I wouldn't be the same dude I am. And then, like, you know, alhamdulillah, like, my dad, he taught me Dean at a youngin'. And I knew Dean was, you know what I'm saying? Dean basically was, you know, my dad got locked up, you know, with Dean is basically what made me become the man who I am today. You know what I'm saying? So Dean and then my mom's.
What is Dean? Because you keep
saying. Okay, yeah. Dean basically, you know, like, since I'm Muslim, like, that's the, you know, religious, you know what I'm saying? Like, the religion.
in order for you to get out of it, it was basically based on how your father raised you in your religion. And it was also the help of your mother transferring you to a different school system. How would you say for a kid who doesn't have that support or anybody that can't help them out and who's from these areas, not just in Michigan, what advice would you give to a kid who doesn't have the same support as you did for them to get out of their environment and to broaden their view?
For a kid, like you said, that doesn't have that support or that outlet, I would tell a kid just to stand tall, stay 10 toes. Like, if something that you ain't about something, don't fall into peer pressure, bro. Be your own man. Cause like I said, a street nigga don't equal a real nigga. Being a real nigga, standing your ground, standing what you believe in, and standing tall in what you want and what you want to follow. You know what I'm saying? So basically, cause you know, like you, I can't attest to every kid, cause every kid got their different circumstances. Some kids are in way worse positions than I was. So it's harder for them to not to, but just know that there's other options. You got options. You know what I'm saying? You know, those options are going to take you out your comfort zone, you know, for sure. But getting out your comfort zone is a good thing. If you're not comfortable in a situation, that's good. That makes you work harder. You know what I'm saying? That makes you put the work in.
Polo, you are a African-American Muslim man. What is it like for you as a Black Muslim man in your community?
As a Black Muslim man, I'm not going to lie. You know, in Black cities, you know, like, for example, you know how Philly is. Black is Black Muslim. This is Black Muslim Mecca, basically. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Black Muslims get a lot of respect from non-Black, you know, from non-Black Muslims. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of Black people respect Black Muslims. Like I said, it takes you out your comfort zone. Like, as a Black man, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
What are your experiences? What are your experiences as a Black Muslim man in Michigan?
In Michigan, like, you know, it's Detroit. It's hella Muslims in Detroit. Like, in Flint, you know, everybody either knows a Muslim or they have a Muslim in their family. Like, it's really, like, everybody, you know, I don't get hate for being a Muslim in my city. You know what I'm saying? Especially being a Black Muslim, you know. And it's a close community, you know what I'm saying? As far as, like, we stick together. You know, we have our iftars, you know what I'm saying? Our Eid barbecues, you know.
So have you had any like difficult experience with, because it's sometimes it's pretty difficult because a lot of different ethnicities, different.
See, outside of the inner cities, that's different. You know what I'm saying? As a Black Muslim man outside the inner city.
How like, so?
I would say that I'm constantly, for example, the first question I get is, oh, when did you convert? And some people, like, they ask that question in a good way, you know, just to be like, oh, when did you know what I'm saying? Just to, you know, continue the conversation. And then some people, I feel like it's kind of like a degrading question, like, oh, you know what I'm saying? You don't know much about Dean, but so when did you convert? You know, and it's like they kind of, a lot of Desis, a lot of Arabs, you know, even Africans, they feel the need to have to teach us Dean, even though we have our Black sheikhs, you know what I'm saying? We have our Black scholars that have studied Dean, that went, you know, abroad and studied, you know, they feel like we don't know Dean enough.
So that's one of the discriminations that you face?
Yeah, like, they always assume I don't know Dean, like I don't know anything about my religion, like I don't know anything about being a Muslim, and that I'm just learning. Like, they always assume that I don't know anything. They try to teach me the basics, you know what I mean?
How does that affect your relationship with other non-Black Muslims?
Well, like, I kind of have to, you know, seek out, like, are they really with me? Because is it out of pity? You know, like, a lot of people befriend me. Like, I had a lot of people befriend me because they felt bad. Like, oh, he doesn't know Dean. Let me teach him. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And then I have to seek that out to find out if they're really my friend, because they mess with my values as a person, or they, you know, or they value me as a person. You know what I'm saying? They actually take what I say they actually listen to it. Or are they trying to just teach me Dean? You know what I mean?
How do you differentiate that? Like, for somebody who wants to be your friend just because they want to be your friend, or somebody who thinks, like, you don't have no knowledge in your own faith?
Usually it's how they word stuff. If you word stuff very, like, I if I don't know something, I will tell you I don't know. And then you can thus teach me. Like, cool. You know what I'm saying? But then some people, like, don't get me wrong, it's nice. Like, I appreciate when people try to teach you stuff. But when they simplify it in a way that degrades you, it's kind of like, yo, are you, like, doing this out of pity? Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So it's really, you just have to listen to the words that are being said and how it's being said. It's really how it's being said and not what's said. You know what I mean?
Completely.
It's about the actions, more or less, and then, you know what I'm saying? and how they treat me outside of like the masjid as well.
How is so? What are your experiences in the masjid?
I didn't have people tell me like, oh, like they just assume black Muslims are fake Muslims sometimes, and that, you know, we all like convert in jail, you know, stuff like that. Just the really degrading ass.
They base it a lot on like stereotypes.
Yeah, very much stereotypes. And then like because the thing is, a lot of black Muslims are very strict in their religion, you know, so it's like I don't get where that stereotype comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, but they just feel like they just feel the need to always want to teach instead of just like listen. You know what I mean?
What would you say? Would that be an advice for them is to, instead of trying to teach somebody or make assumptions based off of it just because they're black Muslim or they're Muslim outside of their ethnicity, would that be an advice that you would say, like, you have to listen to the other person?
Yeah, just listen. Just hear the other person. No, like, he probably has some knowledge that you don't know, you know, or some things that you don't know. He could probably teach you instead of you always trying to teach him.
What would be one lesson that you would teach to, I would say, anybody who's probably like a non-Muslim or a Muslim who has those prejudiced thoughts against somebody else?
Like I said, it's just like we probably have some, you know, because we had different experiences, you know, so everybody has different experiences. Like a Pakistani has a different experience from a Somali, or, you know what I'm saying? Like we all have different things we could teach each other. And so it's not about competing and who has the better knowledge. You know, it's just to teach each other, because that's really, it's just like a brotherhood. You feel me?
That's true.
Okay, so Polo, I see a lot of your point of view from a black Muslim man's perspective. And I just want to understand how you feel about other Muslim communities that are not African-American Muslims.
I don't envy in a negative way. I almost like, it's like a good way. Like I wish like our the black Muslim community was like other communities. For example, you have like a Somali community who, you know what I'm saying? They all stick together. You know what I'm saying? They all spend their dollar in that community, like, you know, a Nigerian community in Texas or Ethiopian community in DMV. You know, like they all have a close knit community and they all want to see each other succeed in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like I envy that, because a lot of black people we don't really know community. You know what I'm saying? We struggle with that. Like, don't get me wrong. Like black Muslims do have a community, but it's not like how a Somali community operates, you know what I'm saying? Like, for example, if a Somali person, like a Somali community needs a person that caters, they're going to, you know, say a person that's going to, they're going to start up a business. They're going to support that business. You know what I'm saying?
So circulate the money within your own.
Yeah. They circulate the money within each other and they help each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, if a Somali person or a Nigerian person dies in the community, like they all going to chip in for that janazah. You know what I'm saying?
That's absolutely,
and it's really
true.
About helping each other. You know, it's like it's kind of like we have to go out our way to do stuff like that. And it's like, don't get me wrong, it's starting to get better now, you know, as time progresses, but it's still not to that extent.
What advice would you give to people in your community in regards to how you see other communities and how they are able to stick together?
Really, honestly, like, so just support one another. You know what I'm saying? You know, because like what I've started to see, like black Muslims are starting to, like, for example, if my boy knows I need a job, he's going to like talk to his, you know what I'm saying? Like we look out for each other more, you know what I'm saying? Just look out for each other and look out for each other more and then support each other as well. You know, but like we're already starting to get into that way, but it's not to the point like a community, you know what I mean? Like we're starting to form a community, but it's not there yet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying like, continue doing what we're doing, but you know, as time progresses, it'll get better. And like, for example, Philly, like, everybody know, like a lot of black Muslims know, like Philly Muslims are like, they about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? They got their stuff together. You know what I'm saying? They all support each other.
So there's some progress, but you're just looking for, like more progress.
Yeah.
Well, so he said that he likes the community aspect. What is one thing that you want us to learn from you guys?
Yeah. I mean, we got stuff to offer, you know, as black Muslims, like we got knowledge, we got, you know, experiences, we got, you know what I'm saying? We just as Muslim as everybody else, you know what I'm saying? So don't look down on us just based off what we've been through and how we operate, you know what I mean? Don't look at that to tell you that we aren't Muslim or we're not Muslim enough, you know what I mean?
Moving on to a lighter note, Paula, I'd like to hear your experience dating as a African American Muslim man.
Oh, okay. You know, as far as dating, it's a wicked one. You know, it's wicked. it's a sticky one. You know, it's a sticky one. I ain't gonna lie to you.
What's so sticky about it?
As far as dating, as far as dating, you know what I'm saying, like non like black women, you know what I'm saying, like Desi dating or other Pakistani. People of color. Yeah. Now, like if I'm speaking on it now, I don't date non black women due to a lot of predicaments that I've been in the past. Mm. You know, so for example, it's a lot of racial undertones dating outside your race per se. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes even dating out your ethnicity, but especially outside your race, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm constantly being degraded or talked down upon. Like, especially when it comes down to that marriage talk, like, your daughter marrying somebody that's not in the same race, like, a lot of toxic shit comes out. You know what I'm saying? You hear a lot of shit that you would have never thought of from that family. You know what I'm saying? And so it's kind of like, you just got to take the punches and deal with it, kind of.
So what are some cues that you pick up on when you said that, oh, like you said toxic, right? So what are cues that you have picked up on from other people when it comes to?
So one problem I have is the fetishization, like this black boy, black dude fetish shit that goes on, like a dark skinned fetish, like a black man fetish almost. That's one toxic ass thing I've had to deal with as far as like a girl would want to just get with me just because I'm black. In a way.
How have you picked up on it?
One way you pick up on it is honestly, if that's all, like, I look at her past dude she's talked to, and I'm like, if she has a type, like, you can have a type, you know what I'm saying? But, like, if that's all you would ever want to date, that kind of gives me the sign that you have a fetish, you know what I'm saying? Like, your fetishization. And then once you talk, like, if you fetishize having mixed kids, you have a fetish for black men, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if I look at your past and all the dudes are the same type, then I get a little like, you know what I'm saying? Kind of question that a lot.
So explain to me, what's the difference between having a preference? So having a preference versus having a fetish?
A fetish to me is all you want to date is that fetish you have, like dark skin, beard, or, you know what I'm saying? Or Jamaican men or something like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. You feel me? Like a preference would be like, oh, I prefer dating. Like for me, I prefer dating black women, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't try. Like if I met somebody and she was nice, like I wouldn't deny that girl.
Yeah.
From, you know what I'm saying? I would not talk to that girl just based off what she is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just prefer, you know what I'm saying? But I would try it.
So tell us some experiences and stories about your, you know, dating history and stuff.
You know, it's like I've missed, you know what I'm saying? I've talked to Arab women. I've talked to Pakistanis, you know what I'm saying? And then like, cause like my, you know, like obviously my mom, you know what I'm saying? My family does have, like, they would rather me be with a black woman, but they not the type to be like, no, I don't, you know what I'm saying? So like, I don't want to, like, you know, like I would hate to, like, I'm not trying to disappoint my mom, but I don't think she will be disappointed, but like, I just prefer, you know, black women, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have some type of kink in your hair for me to holler at you type shit, you know what I mean? So, like, I can't, you know, straight hair ain't with me, you feel me? So,
but I ain't with it.
With the straight hair. You need to have some kink in it, some little curls or something. Boy, I need 3A in 3A between 3A and 4C, nigga, you know what I'm saying? So
bring that shit home.
So do you have any stories about
Yeah, so like one story would be like I was talking to this auto chick, and like we liked the same basketball team. And when I say talking, we was just like getting to know each other, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing like exclusive or nothing like that. But I just asked her, like, oh, because we like the same basketball team, and I was like, oh, I like this player, whatever, woo woo woo. And then she told me she liked this pair based off his skin complexion. Oh, she was like, oh, I like my man dark. And I was like, okay. I'm like, yeah, you got a fetish, brother. You know what I'm saying? And she would just always talk about, like, how she liked dark guys. And I don't know if she was flirting with me, but, like, even then, like.
You just kind of felt a little uncomfortable because you know.
Yeah, I was like, is that all you care about? Like, yo, man being black, you feel me?
So have you ever had, like, a shitty dating experience? Like, a really, really bad date?
A really bad?
Like, just a really funny bad date. Something you look well, forward like, now and you laugh at, but back then.
You know, hopefully, you know what I'm saying? I don't know your reach, so hopefully they don't
reach
hear this.
Reach it to me. Reach it to me.
hopefully they don't hear this, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to just spit it.
What happened?
So I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to make it short because it is a long story, but I basically got with this girl, my friend, one of my friends knew, and she was kind of like a bougie Habesha girl, like a Ethiopian girl. And I got what everything was cool. And so my thing is what I do is that I my first thing I do to like try to get with somebody, you know, so I just try to take them out to get something to eat. You know what I'm saying? So my first rule is to eat in a public spot so that the girl doesn't feel uncomfortable or nothing like that. I try to keep it like very, you know, respectable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a mistake by taking this girl with me to go get the Jamaican food.
You picked her up?
Yeah, I scooped her up, you know, and then at the time, my car, I was really on some hood. My car was, I had a hoopty, bumper was falling off, wheels was, I had on jeans and a white
tee. You had a struggle vehicle.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was struggling that year, so
yeah.
I wasn't really, like, I wasn't trying to impress nobody, you know what I'm saying?
It's just the circumstance.
Pulling up in a white tee. A white tee, a fitted, and some like Air Forces, you know what I'm saying? Nothing crazy.
So comfortable clothing.
Then, yeah. So, you know, she gets in my car. She got in the, you know, the whole outfit on, you know, Gucci frames and, you know, just like designer shit. So, you know, I was like, damn, I'm like, I already know where this is about to go. And so she was like, she from the suburbs. So she really doesn't like, she went to school in Detroit, but she didn't really know Detroit.
Mm.
And so I went to go take her to get Jamaican food. And at the time I had two phones. One of my phones, like, didn't, the GPS thing didn't work in it, so I had to use another phone. And so, long story short, I got lost for a little bit.
Oh.
Because I took the side roads. So, you know, we driving around Detroit, and if you know Detroit, man, you know Detroit is full with vacant houses and abandoned houses, you know, so it looked mad sketchy, you know, crackheads all over the place.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? So she sees this, and I'm just, like, driving around trying to figure out where the fuck I'm at. And she just like, yo, like, she, I could tell she's just in the car, arms folded. I'm like, oh my God, like, this is, you know, it's terrible. You know, so my bumper, like I told you, my bumper was like falling off. So my bumper fell off driving.
Oh.
And I had to get out, I had to stop the car and fix it. And I could just tell she was like not having it at all. Like, she was already, the date was done. So I'm like, all right, you know me, I got a positive outlook. You know, I'm trying to keep it positive, keep talking to her. And I just realized the conversation, she's not trying to talk at all. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. So we finally make our way to the Jamaican restaurant, and my bumper fall off again. But at this time, I'm just letting it hang off till I get into the parking spot. Cause I'm like, bro, I don't even give a fuck no more. So we get into the parking spot. You know what I'm saying? I take her to the Jamaican restaurant. And then like, I think she assumed that I was taking her to like a sit down spot. Maybe, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when she walked in, I could just tell she was like, bro, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Bulletproof glass all through the, you know, like if you've been to Detroit and been to any like restaurants or nothing, you know, it's bulletproof glass. Like, that's known. It's known to have bulletproof glass. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So she walked in, she like, yeah, okay. And so when you order through bulletproof glass, you have to yell, like you have to scream your order, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I order my food. I'm like, yeah, let me get an oxtail. You know, I'm yelling it. You know what I'm saying? So you can hear me like, all right, cool, cool, cool. She gets up in line. She orders. She's like, can I have a jerk chicken? I'm like, bro, you got to yell. And the Jamaican dude is like, what? And I could tell he getting mad because he's like, bro, speak up. You know what I'm saying? But she's still talking low. So I just intervened and ordered for her. Like, oh, she said, let me get a jerk chicken. Da, 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 da. He's like, all right, cool. So we get the order, get our food. You know what I'm saying? At this point, like, I don't even care about the date because I'm like, bro, this shit flopped anyway. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh, might as well get the food.
Yeah, I mean, the food, listen, we got the food, like, but she thought it was a sit down special. I don't know if she thought, like, we was just gonna sit down and eat or something like that. I don't know, but, you know, we get the food and we dip. Like, it was a takeout spot. So, we get the food and dip. As soon as I start driving, she was like, you sure you know where you're going? And I was like, when she said that, I'm like, bro, fuck.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And then when she said that, I had to make a U-turn because I fucked around and missed my missed the street again. So I was like, bro, I was
my
tweaking
poor
that
guy.
Day.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was just all bad that day. So but then you know, I get her back to her dorm or whatever. Nigga, I've never seen somebody hop out their whip so fast. Like, I'm telling you, she literally said this was fun and like sprints out my car.
Sorry to this man.
And I ain't heard nothing else since.
Oh my God. What a story.
You got blocked right after.
Yeah. She cut you off real quick.
She
probably told the girls about the experience.
She's like, I'm gonna fucking
No, the thing is, my man called me
because
because she called the dude. She basically, because I met her, it was, we had mutual friends. So she called my friend, that, you know what I'm saying, that she went to high school with. And she told him the story. And he called me. He like, yo, T, he like, what the fuck is you on, bro? What was you doing? And I was like, bro, it was just a bad, like, she thought I was trying to rob her, like, all types of shit. I was just like,
there was no chance of redeeming yourself.
No, it's none. It was over. There was
no,
bro.
As soon as she stepped in the car, there was no chance for
he was on his MP.
The thing is, the day started off bad when when I pulled up and my car was already fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, I was just like, yeah, this shit about to end terribly.
Dang.
At least it's a story, man. At least it's a story.
Hey, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
I was going to say, to end the show, my last question would be, is if you had your queen listening to us, what would you want in her?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. Yes, go ahead and answer.
If I had my queen listening?
Yeah.
All right. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to put myself out there like that, you feel me? But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
He said, I don't want to put myself out there, but I'm on a podcast.
But I'm going to do it.
My opportunity.
listen. Like, on some real, like, you know, I'm a genuine dude, you know, so I'm not trying to like front or nothing like that, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lie, I'm a very, you know, I got a sensitive side, you know what I'm saying? I'm very affectionate, you know?
So tell your queen.
If I had my queen, if it's a queen out there listening right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want unconditional love, come holler at your boy, you feel me?
Ooh,
I like the one.
What qualities would you want in your queen?
The quality I would want is, I need a girl that's about her own shit, you know what I'm saying? That's about her own hustle, you know what I'm saying? Like, she got her hustle, I got my hustle, we hustle together, you know what I'm saying? We come together on shit. Like, you know, I don't like birds, you feel me? Like, I don't like, you know.
Tweet, tweet.
What do we know about this bird? You might think not much, it's just a bird. But we do know some things. We know it was a local bird.
Tweet, okay. It reminds me, like, of the fine tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet.
Like, I just need a girl. I just need a shorty that's, you know, about her own business. You know what I'm saying? That got her own hustle mentality. You know what I'm saying? That don't mind me being affectionate towards. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't about that, because I'm affectionate. You feel me?
Not a lot of men can say that. So,
you know, I show love. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't no tight. I ain't no knucklehead nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, communication, that's important.
What's bird behavior in Detroit? Like, what y'all consider
bird behavior in Detroit?
Yeah, what do you consider
club
bird?
Rat?
A club rat.
What is a club rat?
Yo, a club rat is a girl that's always in the club, just trying to, you know what I'm saying? You know them club joint that's always trying to hit the club and impress, you know what I'm saying, entertain niggas and entertain other dudes, and just basically, like, just if all you want is attention, you're not for me, you know what I'm saying?
Bird behavior.
If all they want is a VIP pass.
If they want, yeah, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So that's bird behavior. I like that. So is there anything else besides club rat?
Bird behavior would be talking down on other folks. Like, I don't need no girl talking. Because if you're talking down on other folks, you're talking down on me too when I'm not around. You feel me? You know, I need somebody that's solid. You know, that's bird, you know, bird behavior. Yeah.
Tweet, tweet. That's for now.
Like, if you got to. Oh, bro.
He said, wait, let me give you my time.
Oh, bro, let me tell you. Fronting, like, flaunting your, like, bro, if your ass is out in every picture, you a bird.
Tweet, tweet. What else?
Social pick media. Pick me type female, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I do this, I do that for my man. Oh, you a bird.
I hate pick me.
One last bird behavior.
Oh, one last. Let's think. You know what I'm saying? Let's give you a crazy one. Like I said, ass out. You know, pick me. Bro, I'm trying to think. It's another one. One of the, you know, them flaunting types. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I got my. Like, if you out here flaunting your shit, like, as far as, like, your riches, you know what I'm saying? What you got, your cars and shit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, you a bird. You know what I mean? Like,
but that means men are birds.
Is it kind of like a. Oh,
men are birds if also, they do that.
Oh, men are birds. You know, men can be birds too.
What are? I would say. Wait, hold on. Before we, what are men birds then?
Male birds.
Cuckoo. Or no, men birds are tweet
tweet tweet tweet tweet.
Oh, you know, here like bitches ain't, you know, nigga, you know, dudes that say bitches ain't shit all the time.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm saying?
Big bird behavior.
You know, shit
I
like
feel
that.
Like actually you're right. If a guy tweets more about bitches this, bitches that, tweet tweet.
Big bird behavior.
Bird. You bird. Know what I'm saying? Like if you a real dude, you ain't worried about female attention all the time. You know what I'm saying? You out here trying to make your hustle, you feel me? You out here trying to grind for yourself. You trying to get your shit in order. You know what I'm saying? You ain't out here always trying to impress. If you out here always trying to impress females and that's all you care about is women, all the time you a bird to me, bro. Like, I need somebody to, you know.
What's life outside of that?
Mm-hmm. Some sustenance.
If getting girls at the end of the day is all you want at the end of the day, bro, you a bird. That's a bird, dude, bro. It's a bozo. I say you a bozo, nigga. You feel me? Like, you a clown.
Big bird behavior.
Big bird behavior.
Sir. I feel like bird behavior on social media.
What's a bird behavior? You know what I'm saying? Because you could probably attest to it more than I could. Because I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like,
to me, like bird behavior would be like if somebody, like, if you got into an argument and then they go on social media.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Bird behavior. Like, you too grown to be telling business. And it's like, why are you always getting to an art? Like, I feel like bird behavior is also people who just seem like they're always going through it. I'm like, at that point, you are the problem.
Like, I feel like you're calling me out.
No, hey, I'm not. No. I'm not talking about.
Because I ain't gonna lie, I didn't have some times I didn't. Yeah, want on social media
I go straight to Twitter.
No, I'm not. No, you guys, I'm not talking about like.
You should literally see my tweets today.
No, I'm not talking about life problems, y'all. Not like when you're your daily life. I'm talking about people who just seem always just like, damn, here you go.
Always
again.
Complaining
about a nigga, complaining about a woman. You know what I mean? That's what I mean.
Oh,
like,
I see.
It's yeah, always yeah, like yeah. Then I feel like you're problematic. I should say relationship bird behaviors. Like if it's always oh, this guy did this woman did, it's just
big bird behavior. Personally, I just can't stand Rise and Grind Twitter right now. They make me sick. That's all I keep thinking every time I see Rise and Grind Twitter.
That's only because of quarantine. That's
I am so sick. It's like the worst time, you know. There's like 10 million of us, 10 million people in unemployment, and here you are, Rise and Grind. Although I did find something really funny where somebody was like so into his Rise and Grind that he asked his landlord to raise the rent.
That's a
bozo. Crazy.
Yeah, he was so into his Rise and Grind.
What do they call him? The Rockefeller lunch? What is it? Jay-Z's lunch?
Yeah, the brunch. The brunch? That's what they call him. Rockefeller brunch.
$1 million or have a lunch with Jay-Z.
Yep. Oh my God, they irritate me so much.
I'm going to take the lunch.
A 30-minute lunch. You know he's not paying attention to you.
How the hell do you do that?
You know he's not paying attention. All right, well, Polo, thanks for coming on the show. What's your social media for the people who want to reach you?
You know, Terrence P is my Instagram, and then Carib Kid. I'm pretty sure you can put that in the text. You know what I'm saying? Is my Twitter.
The show notes, yeah.
Yep, it'll definitely
yes, sir.
On the show notes. Okay, well, guys, if you want to reach us out, you can hit us up on the Pal Talk Real Talk at IG or contact us on the Gmail. Thanks so much for our guests for coming on the show, Polo. We
yes, appreciate
it.
Appreciate y'all letting me on it. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying? I appreciate the love.
It.
You feel me?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. As always, guys, be good to yourself, take care of your mental health, and do something good. And that's it. Oh,